Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome back to the podcast. My name is Deontre Nicolette. If you're new here, my love, welcome. I'm super excited to have you tuned in for your first ever episode of Manifest Daily. And of course, to my OG listeners, y'all know the vibes, okay? Hey girl, hey. Hey boy, hey. What's poppin'? What's good? Welcome back to another episode of your fave. And happy Valentine's Day, my loves. Happy, happy, happy Valentine's Day. I'm super excited for today's episode because it's another astrology episode. As y'all know, I've really been getting into astrology even more. I'm super like interested in it. I'm very curious about it. And I will be doing more astrology episodes, solo episodes on the podcast coming up to talk more about like sun, moon, rising, houses, all the different kind of like astrology basics, astrology starter pack, if you will. Okay. But today we are chatting with Brittany Adams. And I'm super excited because I first met Brittany Adams actually through a colleague of mine at work. And this colleague connected me with Brittany when she found out that I was looking to get a astrology reading done. And I wanted to specifically do a transit reading. So basically figuring out kind of, you know, what planets were transiting in my chart and what that meant for me and, you know, what was coming up in my life and kind of using astrology here as more of a predictive medium for major events that were going to be happening in my life. And I'm super excited because I have another reading with Brittany booked for the end of this month where we are doing another transits reading. But today I asked and invited her to come on and chat all about specific transits related to love. I figured it was super fitting because obviously, hello, it is Valentine's Day. If you're listening to this a little bit later, it is no longer Valentine's Day, but you know, we'll just pretend, okay? We'll pretend for this. But I'm super excited because we are chatting all about transits as they relate to romantic love, calling in a partner, recognizing compatibility in charts, things like this. I will say this episode is a bit more of like advanced astrology. However, we do our best to break down the things that we're talking about and tell y'all how to either Google your way through it or how to find the specific things that we're talking about. So it is a little bit more advanced, but if you are someone like myself where you are really curious about astrology and you want to know how specific things play into your chart and not just kind of like using the collective understanding of transits, then this is a beautiful and perfect episode for you. We also dive into understanding how some particular transits relate to things outside of love. So if you're not interested in, you know, love at all for this, totally understand. But we talk about how these transits can be applied to understanding, you know, what is happening in your life when certain things are happening in the stars. So in my energy reports, I'll often say things like Mars is moving to this sign or Mercury is moving to this sign or Aquarius is doing this or whatever. I'll say certain things like that. And so when you listen to this episode with Brittany and myself, you'll start to understand how those particular transits that I talk about in the energy reports every single month, how you can use what I'm saying to look in your own chart to get even more specific about how these transits will affect you personally. Of course, I do these and I talk about these transits on a high level, a collective level. But once you start to understand the house system and you understand how specific houses are ruled by specific signs in your chart, you'll get an even better understanding of what specific transits are affecting you, or how rather specific transits are affecting you when they happen. So Brittany is a huge astrology nerd, as she says on her website, Girls Night Astrology. I will have it linked down below. And, you know, the conversation that we have really showcases just her knowledge of astrology, her passion as well. And she really helps us to understand how we can use, again, the knowledge of transits planets, what's going on in the stars to predict things in our love life and our life in general. So I'm super excited for this one, y'all. Grab your beverage of choice. Y'all know what the vibes are. I'm having some water as I edit this particular episode because I am just a little dehydrated baby, okay? And I want to get us into this episode. So check the show notes down below for Brittany's Instagram, her website. She's offering 10% off for listeners of Manifest Daily for your first reading with her, which I think is a beautiful and generous offer that I'm grateful for. And I hope you're grateful for it as well. So without more talking, let's kind of keep this intro short. Let's go ahead and introduce the conversation with me and Brittany Adams. Brittany, thank you so much for joining me for this episode of Manifest Daily. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, I'm super excited. This is like the second time we're chatting, and I feel like it's really fitting that we're doing an interview today. So I'm super excited to dive into our questions, talk about transits, and specifically talk about like romantic transits. Very fitting because it is Valentine's Day as this episode is released. But before we dive into some of those fun questions, I would love to do like a little bit of an intro. So please tell everyone about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, thank you. Awesome. So I'm Brittany. I'm an astrologer. For all of my other astrology nerds out there, I am a Virgo sun, a Capricorn moon, and a Libra rising. And a little bit about what I do. I love astrology. I've been studying and practicing for about 6 years now. I do personal kind of one-on-one readings with clients, but I also do a lot of astrology girls' night. My website is actually called Girls' Night Astrology for this reason. And it's funny because it's something that I just sort of found myself doing. I was just finding myself doing a lot of like group readings with women and men, but mostly women, if I'm honest. And so it sort of just organically became a thing. And it's awesome because it really kind of brings like friend groups closer together. It helps them to see each other through like a different lens. And yeah, and so I feel like it is very fitting that we're doing sort of like a girls' night chat about astrology and about love and all of that. So yeah, and astrology in general, I just find, I love it. And I find it to be such an awesome tool that sort of acts almost like a mirror, to really just help you see yourself. And, from there, like how to heal yourself with whatever you're dealing with. So yeah, that's sort of a little bit of what I do and why I love what I do.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned we could use astrology as a bit of a mirror, because I feel like with all of these different tools, whether we're talking about like astrology, human design, the Enneagram, Myers-Briggs, like all these different things, I feel like they're just ways for you to kind of get to know yourself on a deeper level. And even if you don't resonate completely with whatever it is that that specific thing is saying, you can be like, okay, well, no, I feel like I'm more like this actually, or I feel like I show up more like this in the world. And it really does help you learn a bit more about yourself. So I love that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I do love, like I said, that today's episode is really going to be more romantically themed, very fitting, due to the fact that it is Valentine's Day when this comes out. And I want to dive into a couple questions about personal transit. So we were talking before we started this episode, and we were saying this one is a bit more advanced. So this is kind of for the folks who may be a bit more familiar with astrology and things like transits and kind of understand where to look for things in their chart. But of course, I'm sure you'll explain along the way where we can find certain things or how we can discover where these things are in our chart for someone who's maybe a little bit more beginner. But the first question that I have is a big one. And I don't know if this is like a yes or no type of thing, but can we use astrology to predict when we will meet a romantic partner?
I love this question. And short answer, yes and no.
Okay. I figured it was something like that. Yeah.
I think most good questions are yes and no. But yeah, so the interesting thing about astrology is, so there's so many different ways that you can really work with the energies that are available to you at a given time. And before I get into it too much, I kind of want to back up and explain like the difference for the people that, you know, may be a little bit newer to astrology. The difference between like your natal chart and then what is being activated at this like, you know, specific time. So your natal chart or your birth chart is generally, it's literally a snapshot of what is happening in the stars at the moment of your birth. And so I believe it's this like, it's this beautiful kind of like blueprint that you've chosen to be born under. And it's like, you know, all of the different energies that are available to you throughout your lifetime. And so however, your entire birth chart is not necessarily active at every given moment. You know, there are certain times in your life where there are aspects of your birth chart that will be more like front and center, I should say. And your natal chart is just, it's a really great way to do like predictive work. But within that, you really just don't know how those specific energies are going to play out until they play out. And so I like to say astrology, it is a science, but it's not an exact science. I'll actually give this example. This is one of my favorite stories to kind of explain how, you know, astrology might work out in a lot of different ways and might unfold in a lot of different ways. And there was a man that I know that was really into astrology. He was paying close attention to his birth chart, and he noticed that there was an eclipse that was going to happen on his fifth house. So for the astrology beginners, eclipses tend to be like sort of like portals to like major beginnings and major endings for things in your life. With this eclipse happening in his fifth house, for some people, an eclipse could play out a lot of different ways for someone in the fifth house, but with him specifically, it was really looking like one of the significations of the fifth house is children. And so for him, it was really looking like he was going to have a child. And he was like, this makes no sense. I'm not married. I'm not in a relationship. Like, I'm not in that phase of life. Like, very weird. Yeah. And so he was paying close attention to it, but it kind of came and went, and nothing happened. And so he was just kind of like, I don't know, I'll just put that on the back burner. Nothing major really happened. And then a few years later, he ended up meeting a woman and marrying her, and she had a son, so his stepson, who just so happened to be born on that eclipse.
Just oh, wow.
How, yeah, it's so funny how astrology just kind of plays out in these ways that sometimes we don't always see it, but it's there and it's working kind of like behind the scenes. So anyways, I just like that example.
Yeah, that's such a fun example too. And it's kind of like, I always think of that Steve Jobs quote about how, oh my gosh, I always butcher this one too, how you can't see like you can't connect the dots when you like look forward, but when you like look back, it's that hindsight that allows you to connect the dots, right? So it's like him looking back and being like, oh wait, that, you know, I did have that major beginning. I just wasn't in the presence of it then, but it was definitely still happening, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. I love that.
Yeah. So, okay. So we're left with this like yes and no, right? And I think that is, again, a beautiful answer because it shows us that, you know, astrology isn't definite. And I think in some ways it's kind of reassuring to hear that because I think sometimes people will look at their chart or hear that certain things are happening in astrology and panic and be like, oh my God, there's a retrograde or this is happening and this is happening. And so it means I'm going to lose my job or it means this is going to end or it means this. And it just almost seems so finite and determined. And it kind of makes you feel as if you don't have any control over your life and everything is very deterministic, which I don't necessarily believe in. So I love that it is open and is kind of fluid and flows in this way. But what are some major astrological transits then that we should look for in our charts that can tell us, you know, when we may meet someone or I guess maybe when that person may be born, although that might be kind of weird, but you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know, something that could tell us a bit more information about some of these like romantic happenings in our life.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that you said all that too, because I mean, if there's anything I want to debunk about astrology, it's that like nothing is finite. Nothing is like, you know, set in stone. We, you know, we get to interact with our birth chart in the way that we choose to. And there is so much choice involved. So I love that. I'm going to kind of go through a couple of the transits that we might look to see, you know, what might be happening romantically, and then I'll go back through and give like some more context. So again, this is a little bit more advanced. So if you need to pause and Google, feel free for all the listeners, because there's some things that I might say that you're like, what? But so specifically for marriage and serious partnership, one thing you're going to look to is the seventh house and also the ruler of the seventh house. And so when you look at your birth chart, you want to look at the sign that's on your seventh house. And then you look to the ruler of that sign. So let's say I have Aries on my seventh house. So you would look to the ruler of Aries, which is Mars. And so you want to look to what is happening within your birth chart, you know, with Mars and also in your seventh house. But you'll also want to look to what is transiting with those planets and within your seventh house. And then also for marriage and serious partnerships, you'll also want to look at the descendant angle and the descendant degree. So a lot of people know about the ascendant degree, the ascendant degree and the rising sign, but it's lesser known about the descendant. And the descendant is sort of like, you know, the ascendant is how we are perceived and how we kind of interact with the world. The descendant is how we interact with the other, with, you know, the most intimate relationship in our life. So I'll look to that. And then for more like dating and romance, I'll look to the fifth house, because the fifth house has to do with, you know, like dating and romance and pleasure. And so you can look to, you know, what's going on in your fifth house, what's transiting your fifth house. And then also again, the ruler of your fifth house. So let's say I have, Cancer on my fifth house, then you would look to the ruler of Cancer, which is the moon.
I wanted to really quick pause because I actually did a Q&A that should have gone up before this, where I talked about an app called Chani, and I just pulled it up on my phone. So for anyone who has this app, if you're kind of confused about what Brittany is saying, the visual on the Chani app that shows you your birth chart is really helpful. So you can kind of look, and for example, with the seventh house that you were saying, you'll see the circle chart and you'll see a bunch of numbers 1 to 12 on the circle. And if you look at the number 7 and then you look at that pie chart, it will tell you the sign that rules your seventh house. So for me, I'm looking at the number 7 and I see that my descendant is in Leo, or I have a Leo descendant, but Leo also rules my seventh house. So that kind of gives a little bit more context to some of what you're saying there. And I think might be helpful to have a visual. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I love that. That's awesome. It's really helpful to have a visual. And yeah, they almost look like pizza slices. So yeah, you're right. You'll just look to the seventh one and then the fifth one to see kind of what's going on. And I think later we'll get into a little bit about like what the other things, because the seventh house and the fifth house have other significations as well. But this is what I would look to for like romance and dating and also marriage and partnership. So yeah, that's beautiful. And then also I would look to eclipses. So like we said, eclipses are major endings and major beginnings. So you know, are you having an eclipse in your fifth or seventh house anytime in the next like year or so? You know, and so yeah, those can be either major endings and major beginnings in relationships. A lot of people get married around eclipses, you know, so very exciting things. And then also I would look to any new moons or full moons that are happening in the seventh and fifth house. So traditionally new moons are all about new beginnings, you know, what you're trying to manifest and bring into the world. And full moons are about completion. So, you know, some people will get married on the, you know, a full moon in their seventh house. Like that would be beautiful. That would be such a, you know, exact representation of astrology. And then lastly, just I would look at a person's natal Venus and also transiting Venus, because of course Venus has to do with relationships as well.
Okay. And so when we're talking about something like, let's go back to, for example, my seventh house, right? And I have Leo, or I guess Leo is ruling my seventh house. That's how we would phrase that, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So for something like that, you mentioned someone may want to look to an eclipse or a new moon, full moon. So when we have these new moons, right? So for example, we just had a full moon in Leo, right? Mm-hmm. So is that something that I would look for, or anyone who has Leo ruling their seventh or fifth house would look for, like, for example, a full moon in Leo, a new moon in Leo, or perhaps an eclipse in Leo, that kind of thing?
Yes, exactly. Exactly that. To take it a little bit further too. We just had this beautiful full moon in Leo. And so what you would want to do is you would want to actually look back to what happened last year during the new moon in Leo, which I believe was July 28th of 2022. So you want to look back to around that time and like, because, you know, like I said, the new moon is beginning. So like what was beginning in your life at that time? And then you will look to the full moon to see kind of like how that played out, how like that, you know, completion was, you know, what was completed, I guess. So, yeah, but that's a beautiful example. Yeah.
Okay, amazing. I love that. And I think that helps to make it a little bit easier to understand because, again, we do, you know, when we talk about like full moons and new moons and things like that, hearing the sign that it's in, especially if you are familiar enough with your chart and do know, like, you know, this specific sign is ruling these houses, you can kind of start to understand and see how it's playing out in your life for new beginnings and endings and things like that. And, you know, again, we can take this across the board and not just apply it to love, right? So if we're talking about, let's say, the first house or the third house or whatever, you can Google, this is super easy, guys, like literally just Google, you know, first house astrology, like what does the first house rule, which is self, what does the second house rule? I believe it's finances, like personal finance, right? And so then you can start to see like, okay, if I have this particular sign ruling my second house and I have a new moon here, maybe it's, you know, a new stream of income that's starting up for me or whatever. Whatever the case is. So
yeah,
not just applying absolutely. To love, but I love that you're kind of giving us this specific example here, but we can take these ideas and apply them to other houses as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
When I decided to audit my wellness routine and implement changes, one of the first things I looked at was my supplements. I wanted to simplify my daily supplements, so I decided to try AG1. And let me just say, this was one of the best decisions that I made in 2023. Not only did I replace my multivitamin with AG1, but I also love that every single scoop includes folate, magnesium, and ashwagandha for stress support. Since drinking AG1 daily, I've noticed that I feel more energized and my mental clarity and my ability to manage and recover from stress have improved. I used to rely on a ton of different supplements. If y'all remember my little pill box, then you know, okay? And I use these supplements to help me feel calm and more alert, but I just love how simplified my morning routine has become with AG1. Adding AG1 in the morning covers my bases with 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, and ingredients like pre and probiotics, adaptogens, antioxidants, and nutrients sourced from whole foods. Let me just tell y'all what my favorite part of this entire thing is. You only need to take one scoop, literally one scoop a day, every single day, mixed with water. That is it. It's giving very much work smarter, not harder, even with what you put in your body. AG1 is the supplement that I trust and have trusted since 2023 to provide the support that my body needs daily. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/manifestdaily. That's drinkag1.com/manifestdaily. Check it out. Lately, life as a 29-year-old woman has been a crazy whirlwind of deadlines, social events, and trying to maintain some semblance of balance. But you know what's always going to throw me for a loop every single time? Mood swings, the bloating, the sleepless nights that can take a toll on you at any point in your cycle. This is where Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth comes in to help me feel more balanced, especially when I'm battling those monthly sleepless nights or dealing with the annoying bloating. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. And if you don't know, adaptogens can help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Any woman dealing with symptoms like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, or even occasional bloating and gas can take this. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is committed to using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromises when it comes to the quality of their products, and it shows. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MANIFESTDAILY at checkout. Here's to feeling more balanced, rested, and ready to conquer anything and everything that comes our way. One thing that you mentioned was transits, right? And you said we can look to planets that are transiting. Is this, you know, are we talking not just about the moon here, right? And the full and new moon, but what other specific transits in particular would we want to look for? And then how would we find that? For example, like a Venus transit, I believe you mentioned that earlier. What does that look like specifically?
Yeah, so great question. And kind of like what you were talking about, pulling up, you know, your natal chart in like an app or something, that's probably where you would want to start to really know what's happening from a transit perspective. My favorite free option is just astro.com, and you'll just, you know, put in your information, and then you'll want to put in, you'll want to select a house system. There are several different house systems you can go with. I like whole sign for lots of reasons, but that could be a completely different podcast
conversation.
yeah, in and of itself. But yeah. So then of course you'd want to look to the fifth and seventh house, and then you want to put in. There's an option to put in the date of where you'd like to see transit. And so, you know, let's say you're looking at transit for this full moon that just happened on the 5th. So you would put in like the 5th of February, and then you would look to see what planets are on the. They show up on the outside of the circle for most. Most apps and most, you know, websites that kind of will cast your birth chart. And so you'll look to see what planets are transiting those houses. So, like you said, Venus is a great one to look at, because Venus will, you know, Venus is all about love, but it's all about value and like where we place our value. It also has to do with resources and money. There's lots of significations for that. But if, you know, Venus is transiting your seventh house, like that could definitely be a time where like either you're, you know, kind of establishing a relationship, or you're really, really just kind of focused on like, you know, what do I want in a relationship? Who do I want in a relationship? And who do I want to be in a relationship? It's definitely a time that like relationships would be very, very front of mind for sure.
Yeah. And I have a question for that again, because I do these energy reports monthly, and it's often kind of looking at some of the major transits. So, you know, if someone maybe is kind of a little nervous about figuring out the whole chart situation, could, you know, the same way that we're talking about, okay, full moon in Leo or new moon in Leo, if we were to say Venus has moved into Leo, for example, right? Is that kind of a similar way of understanding exactly what you said without the visuals,
yes,
perhaps?
Absolutely. And also, if you know, even if you, like you said, if you're nervous about figuring out the birth chart, if you know your rising sign, you can literally just count, at least in whole sign. That's why I said, you know, house systems get a little complicated. But if you're looking at whole sign house system, you can literally count. So let's say, so I'm a Libra rising. I know my seventh house, I'll just count, you know, 1 to 7. And from Libra to Scorpio to Sagittarius to Capricorn, all the way over to Aries in my seventh house. So, and then if you hear, Venus is transiting into Aries, then you'll know, oh, Venus is in my seventh house. Does that make sense? Does that kind of translate?
Okay. No, yeah, that makes sense. I think it just helps to, again, make all of this a bit easier to understand. And,
yeah,
you know, there could be there's so many things, but I think just understanding the basics, right? Obviously, we know Sun, Moon, Rising, you know, those are like super basics. I think a lot of people know about themselves right now, especially if they have their birth time and if they looked up their natal chart at any point in time. But understanding the houses, I think just adds like a really nice additional dimension and layer on top of things for you to be able to get really specific. So when I do these energy reports and I talk about, you know, where Venus is moving or where Mercury is moving, I'm giving collective energy updates, but you can get specific about how it will affect you in your life if you know the house that particular sign rules in your chart. And I do agree with you. I think whole sign is probably the easiest to understand. And then the Chani app does use whole sign. I think Astro, if you pull it up, it immediately goes to Placidus, so you do have to change it to whole sign.
Yes.
So that's a caveat.
Yes, that is a good point. Yeah. And for some odd reason, most websites and most, you know, ways that you can cast your birth chart will go to Placidus. It's just the default. And I don't know why, because I don't know. There are a lot of astrologers that use a lot of different house systems, but I would say whole sign is definitely the most common. So definitely, yeah, look to see what the default is for sure. That's a good caveat.
Yeah, no, I love that. I'm like, I have to always remember to switch my, I sometimes watch this one astrologer's video. It's funny enough, I'm having her on the podcast soon as well. And she uses Placidus. And one of the questions that we are going to get into is Placidus versus whole sign and why she in particular uses Placidus and kind of, because it does make things a little more, I guess, complicated for someone who's newer, because you got to go in and like count things to find if something is transiting in your chart versus just knowing. So but it is interesting though.
Yeah, and it's different from person to person. Like I think my very first astrology reading was done in Placidus, and there were some things where I was like, okay, I could see that, but then there were some things I was like, I don't know that I resonate. And then I had a second one that was done at whole sign, and this was before I even knew what the difference, you know, and I was like, oh, why does this resonate so much more? And I mean, and that's just my personal experience. There are other people that, you know, resonate way more with Placidus. And then there's, you know, there's actually tons of other house systems too to use. So anyways,
it's like language.
It is.
Literally, it's like, what language are you speaking specifically? Yeah. I'd love to get into some collective transits now. And I, you know, again, these are things that could also be applied to people specifically in their lives. But what are some major transits that are happening in the month of February that are great for manifesting new love or strengthening an already existing connection?
Yeah, I love this question. So right now, Venus is in Pisces, and it will be in Pisces until February 20th. And I love this because, I love Venus in Pisces. It's such a like sweet place for Venus to be. I've heard one astrologer describe it like, planets are like people and signs are like places. So for Venus to be in Pisces, it's like she's just in this like soft, sort of like, you know how Ariel, the Little Mermaid was slept in a seashell. Do you remember this? Like, it like opened up and it was just like soft. Like that's how I picture Venus in Pisces. It's like this just beautiful.
Oh, I love that.
Like, kind of like dreamy place for Venus to be in. And I love it too, because it's like, it's a very selfless and kind of like unconditional love sort of focus for Venus and Pisces. It can be just like very dreamy and beautiful. But the only downside side is with Pisces, it can be a little bit of a, you just have to watch yourself, you know, not becoming like a victim in love, because there's a little bit of that with Pisces. There can be that like martyrdom sort of vibration. And so just being sure, leaning more into the like unconditional love and less about the like, victim mentality within love. I just say that as like a little caveat, but, also Venus, on the 15th of February, which like, I feel like this could not have been a like better designed, aspect to be happening or right around Valentine's Day, but literally the day after Valentine's Day, Venus will be conjunct Neptune in Pisces. And for people who are new to astrology, when planets are conjunct, it basically just means that they're like really close to each other in the zodiac. And so when they're that close to each other, it's almost like their energies sort of merge in a sense. And sometimes it can be a little bit of a conflict, but depending on the planets, for Venus and Neptune, it's actually a very beautiful conjunction. It's very light and dreamy, and because Neptune kind of rules dreams and illusions, and it's sort of like I picture Neptune as like Disney World. It's very much about like the illusion of it all. It's beautiful, it's fun, it's romantic. And then Venus, obviously, with the focus on love and relationship and value, it's a very like romantic and kind of musing aspect conjunction. And it can be a very like creative and sensitive time. But it can also be a good time for money because Venus is involved. So it's sort of like this dreamy, like beautiful, and like who could have asked for anything better right around Valentine's Day? So it's really fun. I will say with all of astrology, there are pros and there are cons. And just to go through like some of the potential cons, and just because I say this does not mean it's going to play out for you, but with Neptune there, with Venus, it can almost be like a little bit too good to be true in a sense. It can kind of be like this, Neptune brings in this like misty and kind of confusing vibe sometimes. And like I said, it's like all about illusionment and sometimes disillusionment. So sometimes it's like, you know, you could, if you're, and it also depends on where it falls in your birth chart, like where you have Pisces in your birth chart. But it can bring in a little bit of like this, my Valentine didn't get me flowers, so they don't like me. Or like, you know, I want to be loved this way and I'm not, so I must not be lovable. Or I need you to prove your love for me. It can sometimes bring in a little bit of those like victim-y kind of, but as long as they're careful about it, I think it can be just a very beautiful, dreamy, like imaginative thing.
So with those cons that you described, it almost sounds kind of like you, because sometimes when I think about Pisces, I think of like in the clouds. And again, you mentioned Neptune and sort of like the disillusionment, right? So it almost kind of sounds like you, there could be some of the getting caught up in your own thoughts and your yes. own perception of reality. And maybe something is happening, but you're kind of internalizing it a different mm-hmm. way. Maybe the person intended or that the situation is coming off in reality, right?
Yes, absolutely. No, that's a great point and a great way to describe it. It can definitely get you in your head. And again, it's like, it depends on where it is in your birth chart and what's going on. But you're right, with Pisces, it can be very much like not of this world in a sense. Like it's not grounded energy. It's very like kind of floaty and misty, which has very fun and exciting aspects to it, but then it also has like, you know, some negative to it as well. So yeah.
And so when Venus transits out Pisces, right, I'm not sure where it's going next. We'll figure that out.
So from Pisces, but it would then be going to Aries. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Is it going? Okay. Oh, no, yeah. I'm like, where is it going next? Okay. So it's going to Aries next. So does that energy then become a bit more grounded for us after this particular transit?
Yeah. So when it moves into Aries, and actually, so Aries with Venus kind of makes it a little bit of like an initiator energy. It's like, okay, this is what I want in a relationship. This is, and it's also kind of a good, helps you focus a lot too on like self-love, because Aries is kind of like, in a way, self-centered. I say that with love. I love Aries, but they can be that way a little bit sometimes. And it's not a bad thing. It's actually what, you know, Aries is designed to be. But so with Venus there, it can be, it's just very fiery. It's like initiating and just very like energetic and exciting. Yeah, Aries and Venus can definitely be an exciting time as well. There's always,
oh, I love that. Spicy.
Yeah. Oh, very spicy.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And after kind of that more ethereal and like chill energy is kind of like getting a little spice to it. I love that.
Yeah. Getting down to business.
Yeah, that's literally the vibe I get. And it's, oh my gosh, I love that. You know, we talked about some of the cons with this particular transit, right? But what are some transits also happening around this time, whether it be like, you know, February, maybe even going into March, that we have to be aware of that may bring struggle or challenge to relationships?
So I would say this is not happening in February, but it is worth noting because it's one of the bigger transits we have this year, and that's Venus retrograde. That will be happening this summer. So it'll be July 22nd through September 4th, depending on, you know, where you are in the world. But yeah, so Venus will be retrograde actually in the sign of Leo. And so, you know, like we talked about, we just had a full moon in Leo on the 5th of February. And so even looking back to what was going on in your life then might be a good indicator of what, you know, themes might also be happening during that retrograde. And so when Venus retrogrades, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's, you know, traditionally when a planet retrogrades, it's less active in its most traditional kind of form. And it's more like contemplative and a little bit more focused on re-strategizing. So for Venus, And that can definitely bring up some relationship stuff to kind of be aware of, whether or not that is, you know, when Venus retrograde, sometimes it will bring up literally past relationships. So like people who, you know, were in your life before kind of come back in. Yeah, it's good to be aware of for that reason. You're like, oh, it's that damn Venus retrograde.
LOL.
Again. But yeah. Yeah, totally. But then also it can definitely have to do with money as well, because, you know, Venus has to do with, you know, value and resources. And so just to be aware of that, and also just be aware of where Leo is in your chart, because that can really give you themes of like, you know, what might happen. But generally, you know, if you don't have a lot going on, and you want to use that energy in a positive way, just use that time to really think about, you know, what you want in a relationship, kind of like re-strategize and, you know, think about like, who do I want to be in a relationship and who do I want to attract in a relationship? And if you're in a relationship, it's a great time to just, you know, think about like, you know, how do we want this relationship to look moving forward? You know, do we want more romance? Do we want, you know, to get down to business and be more serious about our goals or creating goals together? Like, what do I want in a partnership and a relationship? So I think Venus retrograde is a beautiful time for that. But yeah, so just be aware that that is happening. And then a few other things that I would say just generally, and again, I always add this caveat that everyone's chart is different. So, you know, it's really, it's different from person to person, but, as far as like planets aspecting, certain things to, kind of look out for in relationships that could, cause, you know, issues is, you know, definitely traditionally what they call the malefics, which, I don't love that term because I think every planet has, you know, good things and bad things that it brings. But Saturn and Mars can definitely bring some struggle sometimes. They don't have to, you know, it just depends on, you know, how you work with that energy and also how your birth chart is laid out, I guess. Also Uranus can kind of bring a little bit of a destabilizing energy. So if you have, let's say Uranus transiting your seventh house or your fifth house, like that could bring a little bit of destabilizing energy to that. And that doesn't necessarily mean that's a bad thing. Sometimes Uranus comes and it shakes things up in a good way. You know, like let's say someone's been in a marriage for 7 years and they're, you know, getting kind of bored. And then Uranus comes and transits their seventh house and it really helps them to shake up their relationship and just kind of like, I guess, like, revitalize it in a sense. Pluto can definitely bring, so Pluto is like the god of like death and destruction and transformation, but don't get scared because Pluto, what I actually love about Pluto is he has this very like kind of like regenerative kind of vibration that he brings. Like it's always about transformation. So if there is a death, quote unquote, there will be a life, you know, there will be regeneration and rebirth. So yeah, those are some things that can bring a struggle to you sometimes, but usually, you know, with any of the malefics or any of the more challenging planets, it's always for your betterment. And it's always, you know, to bring an eventual, you know, rebirth.
When I decided to audit my wellness routine and implement changes, one of the first things I looked at was my supplements. I wanted to simplify my daily supplements, so I decided to try AG1. And let me just say, this was one of the best decisions that I made in 2023. Not only did I replace my multivitamin with AG1, but I also love that every single scoop includes folate, magnesium, and ashwagandha for stress support. Since drinking AG1 daily, I've noticed that I feel more energized and my mental clarity and my ability to manage and recover from stress have improved. I used to rely on a ton of different supplements. If y'all remember my little pill box, then you know, okay? And I use these supplements to help me feel calm and more alert, but I just love how simplified my morning routine has become with AG1. Adding AG1 in the morning covers my bases with 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, and ingredients like pre- and probiotics, adaptogens, antioxidants, and nutrients sourced from whole foods. Let me just tell y'all what my favorite part of this entire thing is. You only need to take one scoop. Literally one scoop a day, every single day, mixed with water. That is it. It's giving very much work smarter, not harder, even with what you put in your body. AG1 is the supplement that I trust and have trusted since 2023 to provide the support that my body needs daily. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/manifestdaily. That's drinkag1.com/manifestdaily. Check it out.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
That you bring it back to that positive light, because I do think that is necessary. And again, I know I'm going through my Saturn return this year, and you know, anyone with Saturn in Pisces is going to be starting their return as well this year. And I think there can be a lot of just like negative talk and just a lot of panic around a Saturn return, but just kind of what you ended with, just saying that at the end of the day, this is for your betterment, right? You hear about people who go through the Saturn return and it's a lot of chaos, or, you know, that destabilization and things ending and, you know, a lot of struggle and turmoil at first, but then they come out on the other end so much better with so many blessings that they're like, if these things didn't end, right, I couldn't have this, or I couldn't be living this particular experience right now.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you bring up Saturn in that light, because Saturn is actually one of my favorite planets. And I know and I know your podcast is called Manifest Daily, and it literally Saturn is required for manifestation. So he is sometimes kind of a hard ass in a sense. Like, he's, you know, he can be kind of like that very tough, firm mentor, I guess. But
I get daddy energy, like big daddy.
Yes, absolutely. Big daddy Saturn for sure. But he's always doing it to mature you and to bring you into your, like, what you're doing, you know, like what karma you have chosen to do this lifetime. He's going to remind you of that all the time. And he's really important in manifestation. So anything that you need to bring into the world, like if Saturn is there, you know, he's going to make sure you get it. He's going to make sure you do it.
Yay, love that too.
And I actually, it's funny you bring up the fear aspect too, because I actually had this realization. I had Saturn transiting in a specific house in my chart, and I realized, like, I was confronted with my deepest fears. And now as Saturn is getting ready to leave that particular house, I realized, like, oh, I'm not afraid of that anymore. Like, it literally took the fear out of me. It drew it out. And that's what Saturn does. And it can be painful and it can be difficult, but again, always for your betterment. So yeah, I love that.
And agreed. And I actually, so I recorded this YouTube video yesterday, which I think goes up before this particular episode, but in it, I'm talking about discipline and how, you know, a lot of times we like fear a challenge and people will just want to avoid challenge. And there's this discourse where we're so, we're like, oh my God, ease and flow, and we want this and that, but it's like challenge is what allows you to grow and evolve, right? And so, you know, it might not be the easiest thing, typically isn't, but it is the thing that's going to allow you to better yourself. Like, ease and flow and comfort doesn't allow you to grow in the ways
exactly
that you need to, right?
Yep, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'd love to transit funny pun, into our last section of this episode, which is synastry. I'm saying that correctly, right? Synastry? Yeah. Okay, amazing. So what is synastry in astrology?
Yeah, so a synastry chart is basically a comparison between the natal charts of two or more people. And that's in order to determine like how their relationship works. You know, some people will use this with romantic relationships to see if like two people are compatible. And literally what it is, you know, both of your birth charts like superimposed over each other. And so you can kind of see like planet will interact, and that can kind of tell you whether or not you're quote unquote compatible. I say that, and then I also will back up and say, I don't know that I necessarily believe in compatibility. I think that, you know, any two people can choose to be together. I would never look, like personally as an astrologer, I would never look at two people's synastry charts and say like, no way, you guys got to get out. You're not meant to be together. You know, it's always up to that personal choice. But in saying that, there are definitely things that I look for that, you know, will say, you know, you have a little bit more of like ease and flow in this part of your relationship, and this part of your relationship might have some tension. So it's more just like an FYI, like this is how you guys will interact. And it's less about like, yay or nay.
And again, coming right back to where we started off this episode with, right? So astrology is not kind of this deterministic thing of like, if you have this in your chart, you need to be in this career doing this thing, and this is how your life will go. And dude, that's a beautiful reminder, especially when it comes to compatibility. And I think that, you know, if you're looking at compatibility of like a romantic relationship or even like a friendship, if you see certain things that don't look good, it's not like this won't work. It's just that maybe there, like you said, there might be a bit more challenge there. But again, challenge can help us grow and help the relationship grow. So not always bad. But what are some of those indicators that you look for kind of like the ease and flow in two different charts or multiple different charts?
Absolutely. So within a synastry chart, there's tons of indicators of, you know, kind of ease and flow in relationships. But what I tend to look at, so one thing is the moon sign. And so, you know, the moon comes out at night. The moon is who we are when no one's looking. It's who we are just in our kind of like emotional world. It's also about like our needs and how we feel nurtured and cared for. So I look for compatibility within the moon signs. And again, it doesn't necessarily mean it's not going to work, but it is a good indicator to just be like, okay, this person has a moon in Cancer, so they want to be nurtured. They need to be like, you know, spoken to gently. They need to be like, you know, a lot of affection given to them versus someone who might have a moon in Gemini. If they have a moon in Gemini, they're probably always going to want to like verbally process things. They're always going to be, my husband has moon in Gemini, and he's like, I laugh because it's like information overload all the time. It's like he'll have his phone playing like a podcast while he's working on like a paper that he's writing while he's playing a video game. Like it is just constant.
Oh, wow.
And to me, that's a nightmare. But for him, that is so like nurturing for his soul. And it's like, how? I don't know. I don't get it. But it's good for me to know that.
Yeah. And so are we looking at, for example, with the moon sign, right? Are we kind of like what you just described, looking at how someone would like to be nurtured and cared for and what lights their soul up, I suppose? Or are we kind of, you know, looking at the basics of the, what is it called? Oh my gosh, the fire, earth. I'm struggling.
Yeah,
right,
the element.
The elements. The elements, yes, yeah, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, are we looking at like the elements and kind of comparing the elements like earth and earth, or, you know, fire and water might repel, like that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, so that's a good point. I was actually going to bring that up a little later, but the elements are definitely something that I look for within a synastry chart. So, you know, if someone has like, let's say someone has a ton of water in their chart, they're probably naturally going to be drawn to someone who has either also a lot of water because like attracts like, or someone who has a lot of earth because earth kind of does this thing where it creates like a container to hold the water in a sense. They're probably going to be less drawn to someone who has like a ton of fire or a ton of air. But that doesn't necessarily mean that that's better. You know, easy isn't always good. Like we just said, you know, sometimes that tension just like pushes them further in their karmic path. But yeah, definitely elements are a good thing to look at to see, like, you know, the other idea is like, what completes your chart? Like, let's say you have a lot of fire and a lot of air in your chart. Well, then maybe you want to look for someone with a lot of earth and a lot of water, because it will just kind of like complete you in a sense. Not that you need anyone to complete you, but yeah, the elements are definitely
I get the vibe.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. And then, so a couple other things I look for, is the, just like both people's Venuses and how they interact. Because Venus is a really good indicator of what we're naturally attracted to, in a partner. And so I'll see the Venuses, how they interact with each other. That's a good indicator of like kind of flow in a relationship. And then I'll also look to the North and South nodes, and because that is a good indicator of like a karmic connection. And that goes a bit deeper than just like, oh, are we going to be compatible? This is more like, have you done this life with someone else before? Like, have you done this before with this person? Or like Saturn is also a really good indicator of kind of like karmic and past life connections as well. So I'll look to see, you know, like, is someone Saturn sitting right on someone else's south node? Like, wow, that would be like a crazy karmic connection. And that doesn't necessarily mean like, oh, you guys need to be together forever, but it is a good thing to know, like, oh, there's definitely something that this person has for you in this lifetime, whether that is, you know, partnership forever, whether that is just like, you know, for, you know, whatever designated time you'd like to have it. But yeah, that is a good indicator as well.
Yeah. And I love that you kind of talked about that, the completion of the chart. And again, going, you know, like you said, you're not here to look for your other half, so to speak. But to me, that almost reminded me of this idea of like opposites attract, right? And I think there are those two types of relationships. Like sometimes you do have the two people that are very similar. They're like the same person and they just click like that. But then other times you have the two people who maybe their values are at the core like very similar, but on the surface they're so opposite, but something there works. And I think that when you were explaining that, I was like, oh, that kind of reminds me of something like that, right?
Yeah, no, totally. Absolutely. And it also depends on, like I say, it depends on the person's specific birth chart, because there might be people who, you know, I mean, I believe in past lives. You don't have to believe in past lives to, you know, practice astrology, but I think that there are some people here who choose to have like maybe an easier round where you're just like, your partner is just like basically the same person as you. And that doesn't mean that you won't have challenges in life. Maybe that's just not one of the challenges. The challenge is external, you know, and then there are other people who might choose to come in and have a partner that will literally push them forward in their karmic path, you know, whether that has to, you know, whether that's tension, or that is, you know, just encouragement. It really just depends on what your karmic path is and what you've chosen to be a part of this lifetime. So
we kind of touched on some of the strong indicators, the promising ones. What are some that may kind of indicate struggle when it comes to those two different charts?
Yeah, good question. When I look at someone's synastry chart, I'll look for a couple things, and obviously, again, no deal breakers, but this can indicate some different types of struggle. So like Pluto, if Pluto is, you know, in a tense aspect with a personal planet of the other person, or, you know, a certain angle of another person, that can sometimes indicate some power struggles. Because Pluto, you know, has to do with power. And that can be challenging for sure, you know. And then Saturn can also indicate struggles. But again, with Saturn, there's usually that kind of like karmic connection where it can be like a bit of a struggle, but it's usually like, I think you're supposed to struggle in this way a little bit. Yeah. And then Mars. Mars can definitely bring some fieriness, a little bit of battle, because, you know, Mars is the god of war. He's kind of that warrior energy. And it just depends on the person. It's not always the worst thing, but it can definitely bring like some fiery contention in a relationship.
I love that. Thank you for explaining that. I think obviously synastry can get even more advanced, it sounds like, right? Because you're looking at things like aspects and angles and things like that. Mm-hmm. So probably best to see someone if you're trying to look at or try to read a synastry chart. But before we kind of wrap up this particular section, I'm curious, like, how much emphasis should we place on synastry and astrology? And kind of, you know, you did touch on this at the very beginning of us starting this conversation, but I would love to know for someone who is going to get a synastry reading done and, you know, looking at maybe like a chart with their partner, their romantic partner or a friend or whatever the case is, like, if they come out of that reading and they're told, you have all of these different things that indicate struggle. Is that something where they should reconsider their relationship? Or are you kind of like, listen, you'll be okay. It might be a little bit of a struggle, but like if you choose this and they choose this, you know, y'all could be good and it could work.
Yeah, I think you just said the exact thing that you needed to say, I guess for lack of a better word, is that it's about choice. So like if you and that person are both like, listen, we know we have these struggles. We know that you're this type of person and I'm this type of person, but we're choosing each other and we're both committed to the relationship. We're both committed to each other's, you know, karmic paths that you have in this lifetime. Then it could absolutely work. But if one person is committed and the other person isn't, or both people are not committed, it's probably not going to work. So you're right. It's all about choice. But as far as like how much emphasis you should put in to synastry, to be honest, I don't put a ton of emphasis into it only because, you know, like I said, you were born with your natal chart. It's exactly how it is, you know, and it's never going to change. But not everything is activated at every moment. So there, you know, we're always evolving as people. We're always, you know, learning and evolving and changing. And, you know, with a synastry chart, there may be things that are like, you know, showing a bit of tension. That tension might not even show up for 10, 20 years. Who knows? It's really all about choice, and it's all about you know, what you're wanting out of this life. Are you wanting a partner that's going to challenge you, or are you wanting a partner that's just going to, you know, have your back and just be, you know, really, really compatible with you? And neither is bad or good. It's all about choice.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, we can just remove astrology from this particular thing, because it just sounds like, you know, the way you explained it, it literally just sounds like a relationship without you, I guess, adding astrology as a specific layer to what, you know, to predicting the success of the relationship. At the end of the day, like you said, it's choice. It's about, and, you know, it depends on so many different things, like, you know, I don't know, whatever y'all value, how your life changes, how you grow as a person, what's introduced, the people that come in, the opportunities, like all the different things. So it is one of those things where I think it would be so easy if we could say, you know, we could predict the success of this relationship based on X, Y, and Z transits and this, that, and the other. But it's not as simple as that. Is anything in life ever as simple as that? I don't think so. But it was fun I know, right? That would be great if you could be like, yeah, y'all could get married and you will stay together forever, and this is your person, that is it.
Astrology exactly.
Shows it. Yeah. That would be lovely. Yeah. Love that.
Right.
Divorce rates will be down.
Absolutely. Astrology does, though, like, you know, you were like, we could just remove astrology completely. You can, but what the one thing that astrology really does do well, though, is it helps you to understand, like we said about like the moon signs, and that's just kind of scratching the surface, but it really does help you to understand where that person's coming from, why they are the way they are, their foundation, like, and also like their life path, like what are they choosing to do in this lifetime? Because you know this person now as like, you know, let's say you're engaged and you're 28 years old and you're like, okay, we're going to get married. That person's going to change like a ton in the next, you know, however long they live. And so just astrology really gives you an understanding on like life path, like what is this person here to do, and how are, I mean, of course they have to choose to do it and they have to choose to like accept that mission, so to speak, but astrology really does give you that sort of like foundational, like who is this person at their core, how do they want to be cared for, how do they want to be loved. And that is why synastry charts can be really impactful for relationships. But, you know, with the predictive piece, that's a little hit or miss. So, yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful way to wrap that up. Thank you for that and very well put. So, Brittany, this has been an amazing conversation, a lovely hour. I've enjoyed chatting with you. And I know we have to chat after this about rescheduling my particular reading because I have some questions about my chart specifically. But before we wrap up, I would love to know where we can find you online. I will have everything down below. I know you're offering listeners 10% off their reading with you. So I'll just have your, I believe your Instagram is where you'd like people to come and find you?
Either or. So my website is girlsnightastrology.com and then Instagram is girlsnightastrology. And yeah, I would love to, just as a fun promo for Valentine's Day, like share the love, I'd love to offer your listeners 10% off. I don't have a code or anything, but you know, feel free to either DM me or I have a contact form on my website. You can reach out that way and just let me know that you heard about me from Deandra. And yeah, this has been so fun. I love this. Can we do it like every day?
I know, right? I love these kinds of episodes. They're so fun. Like I get to learn, the listeners get to learn. It's just an amazing time. So thank you so much. I will link both your website and your Instagram down below in the show notes. And again, no code needed. Just mention me or Manifest Daily. And thank you again for this amazing offer and for this beautiful conversation.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.